Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
It's Tech Tuesday with ABC News technology reporter Mike Dubusky.
We're not sure if he will be a judge in the upcoming AI beauty pageant, but he is our guest every Tuesday on Tech Tuesday.
The latest and greatest in the world of tech.
Tesla's next product, they call it a robo-taxi. These are AR glasses. They're called simply the Frame.
On Wisconsin's Midday News.
Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto, Domo.
It's a Tech Tuesday edition of Wisconsin's Midday News. Always great to check in with ABC tech expert, it's Mike Dubusky. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
I'm doing well here. So the world of AI continues to evolve, and President Trump may, in fact, later this week, sign an executive order that adds a bit of regulation. What is the president and the administration trying to do in regards to putting guardrails up on artificial intelligence?
Yeah, this is an idea that's been out there for a little while now, but it really got a kick in the pants this week when President Trump on Monday posted on Truth Social that we are beating all other countries at this point in the race, the AI race he's talking about. But he says that won't last long if we are going to have 50 states, many of them bad actors, involved in rules and the approval process. The president adds that you can't expect a company to get 50 approvals every time they want to do something. That's why President Trump says he plans to sign a, quote, one rule executive order sometime this week that would supersede all the existing AI laws that are out there at the state level. This is something that we've seen crop up in the last few years. State level laws in California, Colorado, Utah, and Texas all passing, having to do with governing AI and the collection of personal data, governing AI and how these companies should be forced to be transparent about the data they do collect. Also, regulations having to do with generating deepfakes of political figures, creating non-consensual pornographic imagery, and around how government employees can use AI at work. All of those laws would effectively be tossed out in favor of this forthcoming AI rulebook at the federal level. What exactly is constituted in that, what that rulebook really lays out, is still unclear. We'll have to wait until the president actually signs this before we get a clearer picture of that.
Mike, how quickly could an executive order reshape AI rules? Does this override state laws immediately, or could we see this get caught up in the courts?
It's sort of unclear. Now, earlier this year, we saw a very similar provision go through the Defense Authorization Act. It was attached to that larger piece of legislation in Congress. However, the provision that would have prevented AI laws at the state level from being passed was eventually stripped out of that bill before it, when it ended up going into effect. So that was a congressional effort that failed. Now it seems like the Trump administration is taking a pass at this through executive order, but that does raise a lot of questions about whether the president actually has the authority to supersede state-level laws, laws that are passed by, you know, state houses, right? Like at the congressional level, at the state level. That is a real question mark. So you can imagine that this will be challenged in some capacity. And just generally, there's a lot of pushback to this, really on both sides of the aisle. We've seen Democrats like Ed Markey come out and say that this effectively amounts to President Trump cozying up to his quote-unquote billionaire buddies in Silicon Valley, making it too easy for these companies to operate in the marketplace. We've also seen Florida Governor Ron DeSantis come out and say that this constitutes government overreach, that this is actually going to make things less safe for particularly children as it relates to artificial intelligence. Even Steve Bannon, guys, a longtime Trump confidant, worked in the White House during the first Trump administration, now a sort of right-wing influencer, podcaster type figure, has come out in staunch opposition to this plan, saying we don't need less AI regulation. We don't need to roll back all these state laws. We actually need more governing of AI because this technology can go wrong and have a lot of negative impacts.
So how do you keep up with it, though, Mike? Right? You come out with an executive order or some sort of policy, and in the world of AI, it develops so quickly. This time a year from now, you may have to make a pretty significant amendment.
Yeah, very possibly. And that is, again, something that the tech world has dealt with for a long time. The pace of developing technology is very quick. The pace of governing is not. It takes a long time for lawmakers to pass substantive legislation, specifically as it applies to far-reaching stuff like artificial intelligence. AI has raised concerns and will to be governed at various points, right? Having to do with copyright infringement, the potential for this to be used for political misinformation, the potential for this to be used used for revenge pornography and the potential for this to exacerbate mental health crises. All of those are really complex, thorny issues, and that is tough for a legislator to really kind of wrap their heads around. So this is a problem that the industry has dealt with. Is there the potential that, the president signs this order, it eventually ends up going into effect, and then, 6 months from now, there's some huge technological advancement that forces them to rethink? Very possibly. But the Trump administration says that, this is crucial, right? We need to kind of clear the field of all these state-level AI laws, make things a little bit easier for these companies to develop their AI technology and deploy it at scale, because we're in a global race, right? We don't want China or one of the other companies or countries out there that is developing artificial intelligence to supersede us in this race. And that's kind of why they are coming at this from, such a, executive level, that they think that, having some sort of federal guideline that all these companies can face and deal with is going to make it a lot easier for them to stay ahead in this very important race.
Mike, something else big that's going on in the tech world. In recent weeks, Apple has been rocked by several high-profile departures impacting the iPhone maker's design, legal, and AI departments. I was just listening to a podcast about this. What exactly is going on over there?
A lot of people are leaving Apple is the short part of this story. I'll just list off a couple of them for you. Lisa Jackson, she's the Vice President of Environment, Policy, and Social Initiatives. Kate Adams, the General Counselor for Apple. Alan Dye, the Vice President of Human Interface Design. John Gianandrea, the Vice President of AI Strategy. And longtime COO at Apple, the Chief Operating Officer, Jeff Williams, all departing the company in the past week, or at least announcing their intent to depart. Some of these are high-profile retirements, which we had been expecting. Williams, for example, announced his plans to retire before the end of the year earlier this year. However, others are more interesting. Alan Dye, the designer, he's the human interface design vice president at Apple. He's leaving for Meta. The Wall Street Journal recently reported that dozens of Apple engineers and designers sort of below the executive level, they work on everything from, audio to robotics to watch design, they've moved over to OpenAI. And this kind of comes amid an interesting moment for Apple. It seems like this company, especially with the departure of John Gianandrea, who was in charge of their AI efforts, they seem to be rethinking their AI efforts amid the perception that they're on their back foot here, that they've been late to this party and that others have started to supersede them. The other interesting piece of this, guys, is that OpenAI specifically, the maker of ChatGPT, they're the ones that are poaching a lot of their engineers and designers. They recently acquired a company called I.O. This is a hardware design firm. They are focused on making AI hardware. OpenAI has some devices in the pipeline. We don't know exactly what they are, but they are working on getting into the hardware field. That is where Apple really it makes its bread and butter, right? iPhones and Mac computers are some of the most valuable, pieces of tech in the world. Now it seems like OpenAI is trying to muscle in on their territory a little bit. And the true irony here, guys, is that I.O., the company they acquired, is run by Johnny Ive. He is a former Apple executive. Mm. He's the guy who designed the iPhone, now working for OpenAI.
It's so interesting because there is a boomerang effect with Apple. People go off and do their own thing. They leave. But these are brilliant minds in the world of tech. They end up coming back too, Mike. So I know there's an exodus, but I know for a fact that one high-profile executive could be on his way back to Apple. He's a member of my family, so I know those discussions are happening.
Oh.
So it's a very interesting discussion.
Scoop.
Yeah, I can't dive too far into that.
Tell us more.
But facial recognition on your iPhone, he was part of the team that developed that as a VP of Apple, left to do his own startup kind of thing, and now is back in discussions with Apple, and he said it was a great company to work for. But people are so brilliant, they end up trying to do their own thing. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But those who are hired at Apple are hired for a reason, because they're among the best in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen this sort of story play out in the past, albeit not at quite this scale, where, a company hires a former Apple executive or some Apple people leave to start their own company, maybe hoping to capture some of that Apple magic in a smaller company, maybe a little bit more of a nimble company. And it never really quite works. I mean, we think back to like Humane, which was an AI hardware company that built a little pin that you clip to yourself that supposedly was going to be like the Star Trek transponder. You could like talk to it and it was going to, like, you know, send emails for you and call Ubers and order, you know, DoorDash and what have you. And it was, you know, largely regarded in 2023 as like a big failure, and that company has now basically dissolved and the remnants of it have been bought up by HP. So like that is, you know, an attempt that we've seen recently of like Apple employees trying to create like a mini startup focused kind of Apple that it doesn't really go anywhere. We'll have to see if this is any different from that, you know, now kind of as it applies to the AI space.
Always interesting information. ABC's Mike Dubusky. We appreciate it, Mike. We'll do it again next week.
Of course, guys. Take care.